When we look at the Word of God and realize what God has given to us, we should realize what a precious commodity God has given to us. Something precious to each of us as believers is an object that should be desired by all of us. Take a look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19. And starting with verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." All the way through it, there's different ways to describe God's laws. There's different terms that are being used. But the point all the way through is how precious, how needful God's Word is for us. In Psalms 119, Psalms 119, and in verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I observe your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep your word." God's word is, again, precious. God's word is something that's desirable, something we ought to long for. We ought to look forward to reading in his pages. Again, in Psalms 119, this time verse 40, it says, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness." And it's not just the Old Testament that says this. We go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you taste of the kindness of the Lord." We talked about, we emphasized this morning in Clint's class, that we are here to grow as disciples of Christ. That means we need nutrition in order to grow. And what God has given us in order for us to grow spiritually is the Word of God, his teachings. And we ought to long for it just as a baby longs for milk, so that it might grow. Now, there's a popular fad among denominations and liberal churches. It's been still going on for decades now. The fad is to poll the communities and the members to see what people really want out of a church. Because they figure if they give people what they want, then they'll grow. In fact, this is the way a lot of the churches strive to become what they call mega churches, where they have thousands of membership. They focus on what people want, but not on what people need. Over in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." And this explains what's been going on in the world around us. I was reading just the other day, you know, one of the politicians saying, well, Christianity has to change in regards to one of its teachings. No. That's going after what most politicians want, which is give people what they want. The church is not here to give people what they want. It gives them what they need. Things needful for growth. If you don't understand it, just look at the little kids. I guarantee every little kid in here wants candy. And every parent has gone through saying, no, you're going to eat your peas. Not because they want it, but because they need it. One liberal congregation, and I use liberal because that's just the approach, not as a label, but it's the approach of how they approach the scriptures and authority. They even changed their name to Willow Creek Community Church because they didn't want any stigma associated with the congregation and the particular set of beliefs. And in the preacher's office, there was a large poster that says, what is our business? Who is our customer? What does the customer value? That poster itself tells you too much about how they're trying to approach things. Their philosophy drove them to offer activities, believing that as people participated in those activities, they would become more spiritually mature. In fact, to measure their success, they picked a very simple guide. The more people participated, well, the more they must be spiritually mature. And what was interesting, this particular congregation continued to survey and to poll, to look at their success. And after several years of repeated study, they found out that they were wrong. They stated that increasing the levels of participation in these sets of activities does not predict whether someone becomes more of a disciple of Christ. It does not predict whether they love God more or that they love people more. Fun and games is not the way to do it. What was needed? What did they conclude? They said fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ were disappointed with the church. They said they were not being fed. They wanted more meat of the Word of God. They wanted more serious-minded scripture taught to them. People actually wanted to grow. And the way they had gone about it didn't give them the growth they needed. They concluded, we made a mistake. What we should have done when people cross the line of faith and become Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bible between services, how to do spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own. Think about it. In order to grow, you don't grow, you know, especially when we got little kids. Yes, we start out feeding them, but we expect them eventually to get to the point where they can feed themselves. For Christians to grow well, it can't be entirely people being fed the Word of God. They have to get to the point where they are feeding themselves as well. In other words, spiritual growth doesn't come from elaborate church programs, but through the age-old practice of praying, Bible reading, and fellowship between brethren. See, the Word of God is powerful. Over in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Jeremiah 5 verse 14 says, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it will consume them. A lot of times we don't give credit for just how powerful God's word really is. It's a fire, and the readers are wood. Yes, it shows us when we're wrong, and sometimes that's uncomfortable, But we need that discomfort in order to grow. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters rock? God's word breaks things down. It destroys our myths. It destroys our imaginations with the hard truth of reality. And because of that, it has the power to save. In that reading that we had in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Sometimes I wonder if people really believe that. Where does salvation come? It doesn't come from fun and games. It doesn't come from gimmicks. It comes from the Word of God, people believing what God taught. It is not only the power to save, it's also the power to preserve in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and or disputing, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So in the day of Christ I have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. We are to hold fast to God's word. We're holding it up for others to see, but we're also holding on to it in our lives, because it is what preserves us for salvation. It's a power that lasts. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40, and in verse 8, it says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Doesn't have to be changed to meet the current trends of modern day man's philosophies. God knew what he was writing, and it stands forever. It does not change. Of course, God's word then is important, and we ought to treat it as important. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 13 says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." When we're talking about growing as disciples, it's not just our teaching other people. It's even more than our encouraging of one another. We got to pay attention to our reading as well, because there's where we get our nutrition. There is where we get our growth. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." We got to let it dwell richly. We have to have an abundance of it. No child grows with a starvation diet. Yet sometimes we think as Christians we're going to grow with a starvation diet of God's word. Several years ago, quite a number of years ago now, Tyndale House Publishers commissioned a survey. And I found their findings a bit interesting. They were looking at the difference between people who frequently read God's Word and those who infrequently read God's Word. 90% of the readers of the Bible felt peace all or or most of the time, compared to only 58% of people who read their Bibles less than once a month. 64% who read their Bibles more than once a week felt joyful all or most of the time, compared to only 35% who read their Bibles less than once a month. 81% of the frequent Bible readers felt content most of the time, compared to 67% of the ones who rarely read their Bibles. 69% of the frequent Bible readers felt extremely satisfied with life in general, compared to only 57% of the ones who rarely read their Bibles. 92% of the regular Bible readers said their lives had a clear purpose and meaning. And only 69% of the infrequent readers could say the same. What's fascinating is not necessarily the degree of difference, but the fact that it is consistently different. People who read their Bibles had a better outlook at life than those who didn't. Now, why is that? Well, it's because God gives us guidance through the Scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 3 is, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and of excellence. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. It doesn't leave much out. Life is so much easier when you know where you're going and how you're supposed to get there. Dealing with people is so much easier when you understand their motivations and see what their behaviors cause. In Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbors for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And one of the reasons why we're going through Proverbs on Wednesday night in our classes is so that we can understand people, so we can understand how to encourage people. We can understand the types of motives and behaviors that are good and those that are bad. So we avoid traps. We learn from all our Scriptures. Because the Bible makes us mature. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting with verse 16. For all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. It's the Word of God is what makes us mature. It what makes us grow up. People seek out so many foolish ways, though, instead of God's Word. They try different things. But take a look at Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 19. When they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and go to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. So many people go to other places I get questions every once in a while. Something, should I pray to my, dead relative, or should I pray to some saint? They don't know what's going on. They're not in this world anymore. If you want to know what you need to do, go to God. Go to His Word. Spiritists are fakes. How foolish is it to seek help from people who are dead? Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, starting with verse 5. For the living know they will die, but the dead do not know anything. Nor do they have any longer a reward, for their memory is forgotten. Indeed, their love, their hate, their zeal have already vanished or perished, and they will no longer have a share in all that is done under the sun. In fact, praying to the dead to intervene in this life is foolish because they're not in this life. They cannot intervene. Go to Job, chapter 14. Job 14, and look at verse 10. But man dies and lies prostrate. Man expires, and where is he? As water evaporates from the sea, and a river becomes parched and dried up, so man lies down and does not rise until the heavens are no longer. He will not awaken nor be aroused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath returns to you, that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes. Now Job was tired of his life. He was looking forward to death at this point in his life. But the point that he's making is the dead people are gone. And they're not a part of this life. So to look for guidance from someone who's gone is foolish. Yeah, we got a large religion out in the world that teaches this. Actually, several large religions that teach that. It's God's Word that guides us. Going back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. This time to verse 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's Word guides us. It shows us what we need to do. It shows us where we need to go. It shows us the truth. We don't need to seek out something else. God's Word sanctifies us. Take a look at John 17. John 17 and verse 17. To sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. To be sanctified is to set apart as holy. It changes us. It makes us better people. And it's done it through God's word. It cleanses us from our wrongs. Take a look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. That's how we become Christians. That's how we give up our lives of evil that was in the past. In fact, it helps us fight Satan. In Ephesians 6, starting with verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and have put on the breastplate of righteousness, and have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, by which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, keep on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. Every once in a while I get people saying, well, how do I do this? How do I get rid of this bad habit? How do I change myself? And really, the answer is immerse yourself in God's Word. It teaches you. It changes you. If you're struggling, pick up your Bible more. In fact, can we really just throw away that lamp that God gave us? Over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We change. We show Christ. We carry the gospel within us. And people see that. Is the lack of knowledge that destroys people. Take a look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. It's the lack of knowledge that destroys. We need God's word. We need that food to make us grow. And so Paul advises us in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to make Bible reading and Bible study a part of our lives so that we might understand what God has taught us so that we might grow and change. We'd like to offer an opportunity this day. If there's anyone here today right now that would like to become a child of God, there is no better time than the time that we have, because we are not guaranteed the future. If there's anyone here who is a child of God, would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf of two, either way, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.